This is the City AM Podcast with me, Sam Torrance, brought to you by Aberdeen, the new name for Standard Life Aberdeen. The Scottish Open, proudly sponsored by Aberdeen.
Hello and welcome to the City AM Podcast. I'm Frank Dallarez, sports editor at City AM, and I'm very pleased to say that joining us today is Sam Torrance, MBE, OBE, Ryder Cup winning golfer and captain, and regular columnist for City AM. This is the first of three podcasts that we'll be doing around the Open Championship, which of course takes place next week at Royal St George's. But this week our focus is on the Aberdeen Scottish Open, which gets underway at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick on Thursday. Sam, thank you very much for joining us today. With the Open taking place next week, how exciting is this time of year for golf?
Well, it's fantastic. Obviously, the Open's our biggest event. It's one of the biggest events in the world, but that's all next week. We're looking forward to the Scottish. It's chances are open for some players. There's three spots to get into that Open available for them. A lot of great players, four of the top five in the world playing, trying to home their game for next week at Royal St George's, but they'll also wanting to win here.
And as somebody who's played the Scottish Open a few times, more times than most, I would say, what does the tournament mean to you?
Well, it meant everything when I was playing. I always wanted to play well in the Scottish Open. It was, you know, your home. It's where you were born and raised, but I never quite managed it. But I love playing in it. Great getting, always got great support. Even so, and when the Open was in Scotland, but it was always a huge event. It used to be the Irish Open a long time ago, was the one before the Open, but the week before the Open is always an important week. It's when without taking anything away from the Scottish Open, that obviously the top players, their minds are on the Open, that's what they want to win, but they'll certainly be wanting to win the Scottish Open as well.
Mm-hmm. Renaissance Club then is the host for the third year in a row. What's it like and what sort of test will the players be expecting this week there?
Well, the Renaissance Club's a fantastic course, North Berwick and East Lothian, just opposite from Muirfield, next to Archerfield, and designed by Tom Doak. He's got some illustrious courses round him there, but he built a cracker. It's a great test of golf. I think the first one, it was maybe set up a little bit easier than they wanted it to. I think Bernd Diesberger won with 22 under. But last year, they tightened up the fairways, redesigned a few holes, and it was won by Aaron Rye at 11 under. So I'm sure it'll be even tougher this year, which is what you want. You know, the best players always win on the toughest courses, you would hope.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, obviously the Open is very much in players' thoughts at this time of year. We've seen players use the Scottish Open to tune up before the Open. Phil Mickelson, of course, won the Scottish Open and then won the Open back to back in 2013. So how beneficial is it, do you think, to play the Scottish Open the week before the Open? What does it do for a player?
Well, the one thing you really want to do is learn seaside golf, links golf. Because don't play that many links golf courses in the year, and when you get the opportunity to play it, it's great for honing it. But the other side of the coin, if it's really windy and really tough, it's not the best preparation for the Open, because at the end of the week you're really distraught, your swing's in tatters just by trying to cope with all the weather conditions. So they'll be looking for good weather at the Renaissance Club this week. And then it's the perfect preparation for the Open. I would always want to play the week before. You know, you don't really want to make it in without any competitive stuff very close, I think.
It's now part of the Rolex series, one of the biggest money events on the European Tour. And that, of course, means that there's also big points up for grabs when it comes to the Ryder Cup, which is taking place in September. How much will that be on the mind of certain players? I'm thinking about people like Bernd Wiesberger, who you mentioned there, who's currently in the running for the European team, but his place isn't safe yet. People like Ian Poulter, Matt Fitzpatrick, Lee Westwood. Will they be thinking about the Ryder Cup this week?
Yeah, well, no. I think it's easy for us to wander into that mindset and think about it, and the world would think about that, but it's no. You've just got to take care of what you're doing at the time. They'll be concentrating solely on the Scottish Open. The Ryder Cup will take care of itself. The Open will take care of itself, getting the places. You've got to have a free mind when you're playing. You can't really be sort of thinking about, well, if I do this week, get me into next week, might get me Ryder Cup. The bonus is play well and the Ryder Cup points will be there. But Wiesberger is very close. There's a few, some of the Scots boys, Grant Forrest, shame finish in Ireland, double bogey the last hole, didn't get him into the open of the spot, but he'll be back there this week and watch out for him. Great wee player.
As you touched on earlier, it is a very, very strong field this year with four of the world's top five. Is it the best you can remember?
I don't think it's ever been better. Yeah, it's an extraordinary field, which is a great compliment to the Renaissance Club. They're all coming there to play because it's almost the furthest north. Well, you can get to Aberdeen a wee bit further north than down at Royal St George's. So, but it's great for the tournament. I mean, what a list of star players. Ram, what can we say about John Ram?
Well, he's somebody that I know you really like, isn't he?
Well, yes, he's and he's really come to the fore. I think what happened at Muirfield Village with the six shots ahead and having COVID and couldn't play the last round, then coming out and winning the US Open, he's now had a couple of weeks off and he'll be ready. He'll be so ready. He's won twice before on the trot. I think it was the Spanish Open and the DP2 Tour World Championship he won. One week after the other, so he's no problem with continuing good form, and he really is. He's looked like it since we first saw him when he won it in America, that first hole in the putt down the green for an eagle on the last. He's a real star. And talking of the Ryder Cup, what an asset that will be.
Yeah, with John Rahm, and obviously you're talking about his US Open win there. Just how impressed were you with how he saw that through?
Yeah, he handled it magnificently, like a veteran. He had some fantastic iron shots into the long par 3, I think it was 14, or then 17, fantastic birdie on 17. And then on 18, again, just a fraction right with second, catches the edge of the bunker and goes to a not very easy bunker shot at all. Had to play away from the hole, well up the green, and get it back down to about 18 feet, which is a fantastic shot. And all he had, really, if he goes out the pin, there's every chance he put it in the water. And then holds the putt. And fair play to Oosthuizen, he pushed him right to the end. He ended up only a shot behind. But it was a fantastic win for John Rahm, and one in style. One that he'll never forget, that. Obviously, he'll never forget winning the US Open. But to win it in the way he did do it, that is something to feed off for a long time.
And now world number one, of course. He's also had success in seaside conditions in the British Isles. He's won the Irish Open twice. Is Lynx golf, is seaside golf something that you think just comes more easily to some players than others?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a huge hitter. Rahm, but he's not one of those launchers high up in the air. He's a manoeuvrer of the ball. He can draw it and fade it at will, especially with his driver. He can hit it low, he can hit it high, which are all the tools you need for a test like the Open or even the Scottish Open for seaside golf. You've got to contend with wind probably 70% of the time. And he has a great ball flight, and that's imperative. You know, Dustin Johnson does too, but he's another one.
Yeah. Well, Dustin Johnson not here this week, but Justin Thomas is the American, the world number three. He didn't play the Scottish Open until 2019. And then after playing it in 2019, he had a much improved showing at the Open the following week. Can we make that connection? Is there a connection there, do you think? Or is that coincidence? Or...
No, 100%, 100%. It's. I mean, they have Lynx golf in America, but it's the coldness as well. You know, it's great in warm weather. Lynx golf is great in cold weather, but it's a much different game in colder weather. And no matter what it's going to be like here, it'll be colder than it was in America. So, It's a great warm-up for the players. I hate to use it as a warm-up. It's not a warm-up, but it's a great preparation for them.
Yeah, of course. And Justin Thomas, what are your thoughts about his current sort of trajectory, you know, former major winner?
Well, he's very much a high ball player. He's a wonderful golfer, capable of virtually anything. But I'm not certain that Seaside Links will suit him. We shall wait and see.
Indeed. Okay. Well, let's talk about another American in the top five, Colin Morikawa. Very much a rising star of the PGA Tour. He's having a very strong year as well. Tell us what you like about him.
Well, his consistency. He burst onto the scene when with Matt Wolf. I think they went into a playoff. Morikawa ended up losing, but then he went on to win his major, the PGA, just after that. So he has a fantastic game. And you have to listen to the commentators in America who are there and get all the talk from the range. He is right up there with one of the best strikers of the ball, especially with his irons. And you need great iron play at Seaside and also a great driver. So he's a very straight driver. He's a very consistent player. He's not looking for any more length. He just plays with what he's got, and he's got a lot, and will be a contender at both.
Mm-hmm. Sounders Schauffele as well, completing the top five, and another American big name player coming over here to make his debut at the Scottish Open. He was one of the players second behind Molinari in 2018 at the Open, when he didn't play any sort of Lynx golf as a preparation. So is it the case of some people need it more than others? Some people seem to be okay without that sort of preparation?
No, I think you all need it. I don't think you can just walk into Seaside Golf and be very familiar with it. It's like kind of like playing St Andrews for the first time. You wonder where you are the first time you play it, and then you get to know it, and it's an absolute gem. But Schauffele, again, is quite a high ball flight player. He's an amazing player. I'm a huge fan of Schauffele, but I'm not sure about Seaside Golf for him. It is an art, and it takes a long time to learn it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of somebody who talks a lot about Seaside Golf, Rory McIlroy just had a disappointing weekend at the Irish Open, where he was tied 59th in the end. What have you made of his year so far?
Well, he's a lot of top 10 finishes and some great wins, but he's not quite there yet. The transformation with Pete Cowan is well underway and getting very close. He would have been disappointed with last week, 59th in Ireland, you know. That's two trips to Ireland in the trot. He didn't have a great open, obviously, when Shane won. But he's... And it's very difficult when you're making changes to your swings, when you're playing testing conditions. It's a wee bit easier to get the changes in flowing and in easy conditions. So again, the weather will be a big element for Brewery to get these changes in a swing, just to be second nature. Just you stand up in the team, you're not thinking about your swing, you're just doing it. And he's very close, and he is one of the greatest.
With regards to his swing, what differences have you been able to tell? Have you been able to see anything in his technique that you can pinpoint that he's actually changed?
Not really, Frank. I'm not a coach. That's how my dad was, but it seems to be a wee bit tighter, meaning a bit more controlled in the shorter irons. But, you know, that Pete Cowan's a fantastic coach, and I have a lot of respect for Pete. I've known him all his life. We started on tour together. And I'm not 100% certain what he's working on with him. I think top half, bottom half, working together a wee bit more. But whatever it is, they're very close to the finished product. Once he has the finished product, he'll be very dangerous.
Yeah. Rory was saying after the Irish Open there that he felt like he needed some more links golf before the Open. Is that what he's talking about, do you think? He's talking about, you know, he needs more links golf to bed in his new swing, because it seems strange for somebody like Rory to say he needs more links golf.
Yeah, it's been brought up on it. Yeah, absolutely.
Do Do you think then that we might see an even more focused Rory McIlroy at the Scottish Open this week?
You know, to be honest, he's always focused. He's always there. He's always trying, you know. And he will give it everything. He will be thinking about next week, of course, possibly in the back of his mind. It's the Open Championship. He wants more majors. Who wouldn't? Isn't it? Well, there's not that many people in the world can say they want more majors because they haven't won one. So he definitely wants more. But he would love to win this one as well. And if he can win this, he'll be ready for next week. But he is using it. It's not as preparation. It's too demeaning to such a wonderful event like the Scottish Open to say it's just preparation for the Open. It's not. But he will be working on his game. And hopefully it will be free and easy.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other British players who are going to be playing at the Renaissance Club. I'd like to talk about Tyrrell Hatton, first of all. He's playing the Scottish Open for the seventh time. He was second there in 2016, just before he went on to be tied for fifth at the Open. He's somebody who's often shown his best form in British conditions. Is that where he's... where he's best, do you think? Is that the sort of conditions that really suit him?
I'm a huge fan of Tyrrell Hatton. I think he could be the best wherever he wants to be, America or here. He has a great game, very fiery, very determined, shows a lot of heart, and he is a serious competitor. He is one of our best players, Tyrrell. There's no question about that in my mind. Wonderful iron player, great driver of the ball, great short game. He has all the attributes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is his a game that is particularly suited to UK courses, though, do you think, to links golf?
Yes, well, he grew up in it. You know, it's, British golf is just the weather, you know. It just makes golf a wee bit different than to, should I dare say, a warm country. But you become hardened, you know. You learn a lot about playing in crap weather. And you learn a lot about yourself as well. You know, it's not just there... just the ball just sitting beautifully every time, not a breath of wind in the air. But you do, I think you're tougher growing up in Europe.
Okay, well, speaking of tougher players, somebody who's stuck the distance for a long time, Lee Westwood.
Oh, is you?
Yeah, he won the Scottish Open back in 1998 when it was the Standard Life Loch Lomond. We talked about the Ryder Cup earlier. That's something that's... very much on his radar. How much would you like to see him take part in that, and how much would you like to see him finally win a major?
Well, the major would be the ultimate for Lee. He's done everything else in golf. He's one of my dearest friends. I've known him since he was 11 years of age, and he is a fantastic player. His swing hasn't changed the last 20-odd years. He's very strong, he's very fit, and he's capable of anything, basically. And I think that his golf in the last couple of years, 3 years, you know, he's very happy off the course, which really makes golf on the course a lot easier. So it wouldn't disappoint me. It would greatly please me if he won next week in the Open. And I would love to see him make the Ryder Cup too. And he's got a chance of doing both. But a great competitor and will give it all.
Okay. And lastly of the English contingent, Tommy Fleetwood, who was runner-up last time he played this event, losing the playoff to Aaron Rye. Has he got extra motivation, do you think, because of that this week?
Well, Fleetwood, he was unlucky last year, lost in the playoff to Aaron Rye, but he did hold a 20-footer in the last green to get into the playoff, so he'll have high hopes of doing well this week, but he'll also... another huge contender for the Open at Royal St. George's next week. And a great wind player. He's a tough kid. Tommy is a great player and he's got a huge heart. And I fancy him for both weeks.
Let's talk about some of the Scottish players this week. There hasn't been a home winner of the Scottish Open since 1999. And of course, that could change. One of the leading contenders on that front is Bob McIntyre. He's back for his third appearance here. Having just slipped out of the world top 50, how motivated do you think he'll be, Sam, to get back in that top 50?
Oh, 100% wants that more than anything. Top 50 gets you in all the major events, all the Rolex events, all the WGC events. So that's imperative for a top player nowadays. And he's made a huge start to his career. He's desperate to get that first win, but I'm sure it's not far away. Playing in Scotland, he'll love that. I'm sure he's played the Renaissance course quite a few times. So I think he finished 14th last year in this event. So he'll really be looking forward to it.
And Richie Ramsey, a player who was very, very close to sealing qualification for the Open at the Irish Open last week. He was one shot off the top three, a top three place that would have seen him qualify. Might that be the encouragement that he needs after a difficult spell to have another push this week?
Well, it'll certainly give him heart. It's a shame to come so close and end up missing by a shot. Maybe gone into a playoff with a shot better. But yeah, he'll be desperate to do well this week. And he's a very good player. There's no question about that. So good luck to Richie.
And Sam, are there any other Scottish players you think we should be keeping an eye on this week? Is there a chance we could see a Scottish winner perhaps?
Well, I think Bob McIntyre would have to be the favourite, but Grant Forrest, very unlucky last week in Ireland, Conor Syme, Callum Hill, David Law and Scott Jamieson all got a chance, but for me, the favourite to win it for Scotland would be Bob McIntyre.
Well, thank you, Sam, for your thoughts on the Aberdeen Scottish Open. There really is a fantastic field assembled for this event this year, so it promises to be a terrific week of top-class golf. We'll be back next week to discuss what happened at the Renaissance Club and to cast our eye over the Open. But until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
That was the City AM podcast with me, Sam Torrance. Brought to you by Aberdeen, the new name for Standard Life Aberdeen. The Scottish Open, proudly sponsored by Aberdeen.